Hello and what's good, Nuggets Nation? Welcome to another episode of the Dig in Denver podcast, a podcast for the people by the people. As always, I'll be your dashingly handsome yet incredibly humble host, Derek, joined by the people's champ and all-around nice guy, Logan Parks. Mr. Parks, what is the exact circumference of a square?
The exact circumference of a square is around 9.2 centimeters, Derek, even though you can't have a circumference of a square.
All right, well, I know you don't like to be asked how you're doing, so since you're a finance guy and you like numbers, I just figured that's the best way to go about this from now on, is just ask you math equations, anything that has to deal with numbers. I think that's how we're going to intro this pod every single time now, is asking you math equations. What's the square root of 4?
That's going to be 16. I think I'm going to need a harder one next week, Derek.
All right, well, I'm not very good at math, so I'll definitely get something going. I'll ask the fans if they can stump you. The real-life Goodwill Hunting in the building, ladies and gentlemen. Logan does not know what that movie is, as he is under the age of 20. He's just a pup himself, so he's not up to reference with these old-school movies. To be honest, I never watched it. I just know the reference, too. This is going nowhere. This is awful. This is awful. Well, we're going to move right along here. As always, this episode is brought to you by the Almighty Baller Network. Make sure to go over to Dash Radio, download the application, and make sure to check out all the great content that we have going on over there, including this very show. We have shows covering every team in the NBA. We have some really good draft stuff and general NBA shows as well on there. So make sure, if you haven't already, stop by iTunes and give us a review. Just your honest opinion on there really helps us out. Any type of review does make a difference for us, so we can make sure that we're doing the best we can here for the fans. As you know, this is a show for the people, by the people of the Good Nuggets Nation and Mile High Basketball. One thing that both I know Logan and I talked about, one of our favorite sections and segments of this show this entire season, is when we got to interact with you guys. You know, we had a couple of fan submitted questions, and it was awesome. It was a great episode. Logan and I both really enjoyed it, so please, guys, if you guys have any questions, you know, we want to get you guys on the show. And I had mentioned it earlier as well, is I'd actually like to get some people on the actual show with us as well. So it'd be great to be able to get some people on here. Make sure to submit your questions using the hashtag DigInDenver on Twitter. You can add us at DigInDenver, or you can even DM me or at me as well at DigInDerek. Mallory Salazar is out there as well. All of our crew's there. If you have any questions, you guys want to talk a little bit, you know, have a discussion. If anybody is interested in getting on the show, make sure to go ahead and DM me and let me know, or the Dig in Denver main site as well. I will get to those there too. And tonight we are recording right after the heartbreaking, soul-sucking loss that was handed to us by the likes of Russell Westbrook himself. There are going to be some salty things said in this pod, as this will be a generally salty pod as a whole. I can just now say that the tears are starting to finally dry up after that dagger that Westbrook threw up with the couple of prayers he sent with it as well. So this pod's going to be pretty much recapping that, what that kind of does for the rest of our season as that kind of puts us out. The future is what we're going to be looking forward to. And as well as, we're actually going to be able to have our very own Mallory Salazar from the Dig in Denver blog as well. She's one of the lead editors and she covers the Nuggets practices for us. If you guys have listened to any of these shows before, you'll have heard some of the interviews that she's captured for us with some of the great players. Always does some excellent work for us, so we look forward to hearing from her here momentarily. Logan, man, that was rough. That was a rough one. However, within this heartbreak, there was some pretty historical stuff made here. The man of who we shall not speak of went ahead and broke the record of old Oscar Robinson. Some really cool stuff that happened there too, but why don't you go ahead and, as we always like to, break into our little segment about the NBA news. Before we get started into everything that is Mile High Basketball, Logan, take it away.
Yeah, so I just want to start off by saying I just got back from the game, just drove back from Denver, and it was a rough one for us, obviously. I went into the game wanting three things to happen. I'm a Denver Nuggets season ticket holder, and at the end of every year, they give out free stuff for the season ticket holders, and I wanted to get a signed thing by the Nuggets. That was checked off. I got a signed Emmanuel Mudiay picture. That was pretty cool. But my other two things that I wanted was for Russell Westbrook to not get a triple-double so I could laugh in his face, and the third one was for the Nuggets to win. And obviously, you guys know that the latter two were not fulfilled by the Nuggets there. And it was probably one of the toughest games I've ever been to, and it was not fun. I mean, it was a fun game. Obviously, it was cool-ish to see history. I wish it wasn't on our behalf. But I don't really know where I'm going with this. I don't really like Russell Westbrook. If you listen to any of the podcasts before, I think he's a good player, obviously, but I don't like his... You know what? I just don't like him. I don't know. I'm a Nuggets fan, and I was sitting next to a couple other fans as well, and we were just all hating on him, and it was fun to have people around me hating on him as well, because if any of you guys watched the game or were there as well, you saw a lot of Thunder fans. I'm putting up quotes right now. I don't know if they're real fans. I saw one guy with a Kobe Bryant jersey holding up a Russell Westbrook sign. You know who you are if you're listening to this. That was me who knocked your sign down. But yes, I don't like seeing all those non-Nuggets fans there in Denver. Obviously, you heard from Vic Lombardi as well on Twitter. He was not a fan of it either. It's not fun seeing the fans cheer for the other team, especially even if it's a record-breaking thing. I know that was cool, but even after that, there was still a lot of fans screaming for them, and it wasn't fun being there in that situation. I still had a good time, obviously, but rooting on for my Nuggets. I just want to see more Nuggets fans there next time.
Yeah, and kind of like you were just talking about with Vic, you know, he didn't necessarily blame the crowd, but he definitely was voicing his frustration and to the amount of cheers that were going for Westbrook when he broke the record. And to be honest with you, I was watching the game and I felt the same way. I was like, God, like everyone is so pumped up right now that Westbrook just broke the record. And don't get me wrong, it's history to see that. As long as you're an NBA fan, you know, you have to appreciate it somewhat. Even you who, you know, can't stand the guy, you even said it was cool to see history being broke, but it was crazy the amount of support that just kept on pouring after that. And you could see the twitch and the switch in Westbrook's eyes once that happened. They were down 10 points. The first thing that he did after that was go and attack the bucket and get two more points. He was in game mode after that. You know, he wasn't about to lose that game. And I had even tweeted something out that, you know, hey, there's still plenty of time left. I think it was like a minute and 36 seconds or something like that. And there was a 8-point game or something. And I had said, you with somebody with the Russell Westbrook's caliber in the game, we need to focus up. Like, this is not done. And I thought, I don't want to blame our fans, but I didn't like how much support was on pouring after that with still so much left in the game and Westbrook coming. And our offense was awful in the fourth. It was atrocious. It was an absolute famine. So it was interesting to see how loud was it when he broke that record?
Yeah, that was probably the loudest that I've heard it all year from the games that I've been there. And it's not good to say. I don't like saying that. The last time I've heard it that loud in the Pepsi Center was probably 2013, back when we had our 57-win season the last year with, like, Iguodala and that and George Karl. And that was probably the loudest that it has been since then, which is not good because it was for not our team, obviously, but it was extremely loud, and even some. I mean, all of the Nuggets bench was stood up and clapped for him. Like it was a big thing. They understand what kind of work goes into that. So obviously he got it, he deserved it. But I didn't like seeing it there. I've been saying for 2 weeks that I didn't want it to happen against the Nuggets, and unfortunately it had to. So it was incredibly loud there, and honestly from that time with, I think he got it with like 4 minutes and 30 seconds left or around that time. After he got that, I feel like the crowd was a little bit more swayed back to the Nuggets from about the 4 minute mark to about a minute 30 left. There were a lot of Nuggets cheers, and I feel like it was a lot of Nuggets fans that were angry about how loud it was, or when Russell Westbrook got the record, they were kind of upset, so they wanted to cheer a little bit harder, and that was cool to see. And then from about a minute 30 in, it was kind of back. I mean, there wasn't too much for the Nuggets to cheer for from a minute 30 in or the fourth quarter in general. But it was rough that we could only score 14 points in a game that we needed to be able to survive another day in the playoff race. But all in all, I didn't like seeing Russell Westbrook do that against us, as you can tell, obviously.
So what do you think that does for the MVP race? Does that, especially with freaking 50 points, the dagger that destroyed us and ended our season, and he broke that record. We kind of talked about it a little bit last pod, but Does that solidify for you? Does that change anything? Is that a for sure? What do you feel about that?
Yeah, if you heard the last podcast, you know that I'm not, obviously, a huge fan of Westbrook. I was trying to make a claim for LeBron James as MVP. You guys might have not wanted to watch this one because of that or listen, but I was just trying to make a claim. But I think that he's going to get it this year. There's just too much of a following for him right now. It really is amazing getting 42 triple-doubles. I never thought that that record would be broken. I mean, I heard a stat. This has been, I think LeBron James has got his 14th actually on the same night, 14th triple-double. And he had recorded 14 triple-doubles in his previous 3 years or something like that. So getting a triple-double is not easy. He's making it look like it is. And regardless of if he's just trying to play for stats sometimes and not really playing for a win, it kind of seemed like he was doing that part of the game, especially trying to get that 10th assist. But yeah, I think he probably will get the MVP this year just because of that 42. I mean, that's an incredible record being broken. I think he's going to get it. What about you, Derek?
Yeah, in my eyes, he definitely won. If there's any question before, there shouldn't be one now. Just the way that he played this game with the record break, and then, like I said, the way he ended it with the dagger and everything else, I just can't see it really going any other way. But there's still a lot of debate out there. In fact, James Harden had made a comment about, oh, I think wins should matter too. So it's definitely a heated debate. Everybody has their hot take. I give it to Westbrook. If he doesn't win it now, I think I'll be a little bit more upset than tonight just because he ended our season and then he didn't win it. I don't know if that's weird. It's like masochistic, but I'd rather just see him win it. Just he put us out, and it really was a phenomenal, stellar performance tonight. So, whatever. Westbrook gets the MVP. Harden gets the MVP. I could really care less. Our Nuggets season is unfortunately done. We have a few more games to wrap up. We still got to play hard. The good thing is that hopefully we're going to be able to see our young guys get a good amount of minutes here coming up. So, and we'll definitely get into that here in just a little bit. Any other thoughts, Logan, before we get into this?
Yeah, I'd be down to stop talking about Westbrook. Still a little salty about that, obviously. So let's move on.
All right, let's dig in.
Yeah. The way it's stacked like Wayne and Payne, because I can't believe it. I be stunting in the hood like it ain't no secret. Pull
up two door up. Is that one movie where you saw it was the fucking math equation on a chalkboard?
Say square root of 4?
Yeah.
Or
square root of 4.
Oh, shit.
I'm using that one.
All my niggas waking up like we hitting dreams then. Niggas sipping lean, Japanese, ripped up jeans. Why you icy flip the team? That's why mom ain't take a queen. I put on for my city, she put on tight jeans. And it's so a ass, and it's everything what it seems.
All righty, so we're going to break this down in a few different phases this time. First section is going to be a little bit about just a recap, quick recap. We don't want to get too far into it, although we probably will. A lot of venting to do here. Like I said, this is going to be a salty pod. Break down a little bit about what we saw, the things that we took away. There was some really good moments in this game. Gallo had an outstanding game. Lord, we should have had this game. But anyways, we'll break down a little bit about that, talk about some of the good things we saw. The second phase is going to be talking about these next few games coming up and kind of what we expect to see from this, as well as what we believe is going to happen with the rotations and just what we want to, how we want to see the Nuggets end the season. Leave us with a good taste in our mouth for the end of the year so we can build onto something this summer, going to next season with a little bit of excitement. And after that, we're going to go ahead and get Mallory on the show and have her talk about some of the things that she saw. She'll vent a little bit about the tonight's game against the Thunder. And she'll also talk a little bit about the offseason, which is going to be our third phase of this show. Talk some about the expectations that we have going forward with some of the current players that we have, some players around the league, maybe some free agents, and really just encompass what the future is going to be looking like for the Nuggets here. So, Logan, without further ado, why don't you go ahead and break us off into this recap of this awful, soul-eating, nightmare-birthing loss that we just had?
Yeah, obviously it was a tough loss, but there were a lot of good things, I think, for three quarters of that game. I really thought that we controlled the game throughout those three quarters, and we even had a good chance even by playing so bad in the fourth quarter against one of the top teams in the West. I mean, they're number six right now, I believe, but they can always make a splash with Russell Westbrook in the West, so who knows what's going to happen. They're a good team, and it's good to know that we can play not our best and still be able to compete with some of the best in the West, which is fun. Even if, I mean, we had Gary Harris end up with 2 points, I believe. Gary Harris is one of our most consistent players, and he'll always seem to get us around 12 to, I mean, lately 20 points. So you can always really expect that from him. And it was a weird thing that he only scored 2 points. I kept looking up at the scoreboard at the game and I was like, oh man, he still has 2 points. Like, oh, he's gonna start making some shots now, but he didn't really get too many opportunities to score in this game, and I think that hurt us a little bit. We weren't able to ever pull away. We were just kind of around 10 points up, but we seemed in control until that fourth quarter. It was rough. It was a good game. I mean, Gallo scored 34. He was shooting really well in the first half and into the third as well. He shot 12 for 20 from the field. I mean, when he does that, we're a tough team to beat. And he was shooting 4 of 9 from threes, which is, again, really good for him. And if he can do that, we're a team to compete with. And when he's knocking down his 3-point shots especially, because then you really have to come out on him and he throws up that pump fake, you know he's jumping into you. Hopefully we're going to get that call. But it was a fun game to watch. And I think there were a lot of good things that we should be able to take out of that game. I think Jokic struggled early, and it was good to see that didn't stick with him the entire game. He started playing a lot better there in the second and into the third as well. It was tough to see him miss that little floater there at the end that could have put us up by 4 points. That would have been a nice little thing to remember the season by, is our emerging star making a big shot in a big moment. And I mean, if he took that 6 or 7 more times, he probably would have made it 6 or 7 times. That's a shot he generally makes, and it just didn't fall, and it just wasn't our game to have. But what do you think about the game, Derek?
Yeah, those are the breaks, man. It's that shot is, like you said, going to go in about a good 75% of the time at least. I thought there was a lot of good things, especially in the first half. I really liked how Nikola was battling down low. He was going straight at Adams and Gibson, you know, in the vet. Gibson's been around for a while, and he's a nice, strong player as well. I enjoyed how Nikola was being a nuisance on the court. He was really getting in everybody's faces, kind of, you know, getting everybody a little flustered. He was beefing with a lot of the players on the court. So, yeah, even Westbrook, you know, he got a little saucy at him a couple times when they gave him that flagrant. And Nikola picked up that technical afterwards, too. He said he was just talking to him, but Nikola does need to realize as well, ever since he kind of got hot and broke out of his shell, he does kind of complain a little bit more. You see him always throwing up his hands and kind of questioning the refs all the time. And then they're gonna get annoyed at that. And you kind of see what happens when you just, you know, irk the ref a little bit tonight. Makes that silly technical call just because he wasn't getting away from him. But that's the NBA, and that's how they're going to control the people, by, you know, kind of using their power to control whatever they want the guys to do. But like I said, I like that Nikola was kind of getting everybody's face, and he's a passive player, and that's his game. The fact that he's out there and kind of being a bully and making his presence known, that's great. I don't have any problems with that at all. I did like seeing Moutier come in and have some good moments. He's always going to have those Moutier moments when he makes a couple of silly decisions, some drives, ill-advised drives and kickouts with a bad pass, or just dribbling too much and turning it over. But I feel like he's starting to finally get in. We always say that every time he plays somewhat decent, but he's starting to play a little bit better, and his finishes were looking great tonight. He ended with 14 points, 3 assists, and 5 rebounds, 7 for 10 shooting from the field. He played really good. He had 3 turnovers, which still isn't great, but he was one of the only players on the team that ended with a positive plus minus of positive 6. So he actually did really good this game, and it was good to see him kind of expound on that, and I hope that continues.
Yeah, and what I really liked to see from Moutier was in that fourth quarter when we were really struggling to make baskets, he was one of the only guys that was able to do anything for us. He was getting into the lane. That was when Westbrook was trying to get his 10th assist. Everyone was all excited about that, and he kind of just subtly went into the lane, got a couple layups. I think he scored six or eight points in a row for us, and that was huge. It was just keeping us a little bit ahead of him, and I thought that was going to be enough to hold on, but obviously it wasn't. But it was good to see his aggressiveness towards the rim and in a tough situation like that. It was a weird, weird vibe in the arena, and he just kind of went after it and just took off for the rim, had a couple great drives, and was finishing too. I mean, you said he went 7 for 10 from the field, and that's That's the kind of thing that we need to see from him, because, and not every night, obviously, but we as Nuggets fans were always kind of concerned about was his shooting percentage. And if you were going to say that he was going to shoot 70% tonight, I would have been really happy. So I think that was really good for him, and it was a big step in his development. So I hope that he can keep that up in these final two games of the season.
Yeah, I actually really liked the starting second unit, too, that had came out. It was Moutier, Murray, Wancho, Chandler, and Plumlee. And I really thought that they did a really good job of playing Nuggets basketball. A lot of great passes, high energy, lots of motion and movement, cutting in towards the basket. And that's when really Gallo really got hot as well. They were driving, dishing, and cutting, exploiting the paint, and getting some really easy kick-out threes for Gallo, who was already hot. So to get him going again was really nice. That's when they went on that little 15-4 run. And I attribute it to a lot of Moutier. You have Murray and Wancho, Chandler. I mean, those guys are all love moving and love, you know, playing the Nuggets basketball that we play. The other kind of thing that I saw as well that I really liked, and this is just a general, is I think Murray's starting to hit his stride. It's unfortunate that it's so late in the season that our season's pretty much done now, but I feel like every time he gets the ball now, he's looking to be an issue. He's looking to be a threat, whether it's driving in to kick out. You see sometimes like Moutier, especially when he was going through the struggles earlier in the year, mid-year and stuff, that he gets the ball and almost looks immediately to pass or looks to dribble around. Murray gets that ball, and the first thing his eyes do is go straight towards the rim. He's looking to analyze the defense, see what they're giving him, see what he's going to take, and he'll force the issue. You know, he'll go shake and bake a little bit, get in there, drive out, dish, and I really like that. His scoring ability is something that's just continuing to grow. And man, ever since the other night against the Rockets, is that when he had, no, since it's, oh, ever since the other night against the Pelicans, when he had those two monster slams, that one against the big man, and then when he did that cockback, and then the second one when he went up for the putback with two hands, ever since then, all of a sudden, this kid has freaking springs. We saw a few times early in the year, too, when he had tried that, those cockback dunks, and kind of missed them or got fouled or something, but he's starting to flush them now. It's nice to see that he's growing another facet of his game. He's almost looking a little Dwayne Wade-esque back in the day, you know, with his hops and ability to dunk it. He's not scared at all. There's that one time where he looked Cantor off with a step and went up, and Cantor, you know, didn't go up for him, and he slammed it hard. So this kid's developing every game, and it's awesome to see that he's continuing to grow, make steps, strides, and build on his confidence.
Yeah, quickly going back to that game that Murray had those two putback, or that putback dunk and then that, and the other cockback dunk, he had 30 points that game. And if you were to tell me early in the season that Jamal Murray went 2-for-6 from the three-point line, and you were to ask me how many points I thought he would have, I would say probably 6. But his ability to finish and get to the rim, and even his mid-range game is really good as well. His ability to score from all areas from the court has really been a surprise to me. I just thought he was going to be a three-point specialist for us, but he's a lot more than that, and that's fun to see. I don't want to dive too much into that, but it's fun to see his growth as a player throughout this year. He looks like he's the only one that's not tired right now after this 82-game season, and he's the only one that's played every single game. So it's good to see that, and hope we can continue to see that.
No doubt. I think that's, that was just some of the good things that I saw. It was nice to see our young guys contributing well. That was just a little recap on the game, some of the good things that we saw. There's tons of negative, and going into that those last few seconds, one thing that was really nice, and it was a bad thing, but for Murray to go through was a clutch situation like that. We're going to need him in high-stress situations like that going into the future, and for him to really see how to play against somebody as a caliber like Russell Westbrook. You know, they did that screen and switch, and Westbrook pumped at the three, and Murray went flying right through the air, fouled him at the three. Westbrook threw it up and got three shots. That was crucial. That was awful. You can't give those up as in that close of a game, and that's good. That's good that he learned that and went through that whole situation. As well as, you know, he was the guy that was on Westbrook when Westbrook hit the dagger. So it's good. And if I know Murray, which, you know, I know him from afar, and by no means have I spent any time with the guy, but if I know him from what I do know of him, is that he's going to take that personally. He's going to take that to heart. I guarantee tonight he goes to the gym and he's shooting. You know, he's going to take that, and he's going to let that burn him, and he's going to let that, you know, fuel his fire down inside to really make a difference and not let that happen again. So I think even though it's a negative, it's going to be positive for their growth going into the future. Yeah, that's pretty much all I got on there, Logan. Anything to wrap it up?
Yeah, just one more quick thing on Murray's development. I think that he has gotten a lot better defensively throughout the year. Early in the season, he was really, really struggling on the defensive side of the ball. And, I mean, he still is a little bit, but you can see those flashes of good defense because he obviously does give the effort. And there's a couple of times in this game where he made some good defensive plays. He slid his feet, stayed in front of his guy, forced him to pass. That's just what you got to do. Just do the little tiny things. And if he can continue to grow on the defensive side of the ball, he's going to be a real threat for our Nuggets moving forward. So that's good to see, and hopefully he can continue to grow that way, as well as the rest of our Nuggets, hopefully to get better on that defensive side of the ball.
Let's go ahead and talk a little bit about what we expect for these next couple games that are coming up, Logan. We have the Dallas Mavericks on Tuesday over there in their house, and then we go to OKC on Wednesday as well. And those are going to be our last two games of the season, unfortunately. But what do you think is going to happen there with the rotations, Logan? Do you foresee the young guys getting tons of minutes and the vets and old guys kind of sitting out the rest of this time? Do you think Malone will kind of just play everything as usual? What do you think we're going to see from these games, and what do you want to see from these last couple games, Logan?
We're not going to just only strictly play our young guys. I think we're still going to play Gallo, Chandler, and those type of guys. Just maybe instead of 30 minutes a game, maybe play them like 20, 25, and allow a little bit more minutes for Wancho, maybe even Malik Beasley. Should be cool to watch. It's going to be an interesting time watching these next few games, knowing that they don't mean anything from the playoff perspective, at least. They mean something. I think as a fan and as a player, you need to play those games hard no matter what. You're getting paid to do what you love, so I think you should continue to play your heart out. Don't tank to try to get one better spot in the draft. I mean, we're never going to move up in the draft anyways. We're always going to stick right where we're supposed to be. We never get lucky in the draft, so shots fired. NBA. Just kidding. But, yeah, seriously. Conspiracy theory. Don't sue us.
Adam Silver, I love you.
Yeah, just throw us a bone. Give us that 1% chance. Just give us that lottery pick. That's all we're asking for. No, I'm just kidding. But I think that with Jameer being hurt a little bit throughout these last couple games, I don't think he's going to finish out the season at all. I think he's going to remain there on the bench, allow Jamal Murray to start. Maybe even Moutier start a game. Who knows? They might switch up the lineup quite a bit, see what's going to work for next year. Hopefully we're going to have a pretty similar team. I really like this team moving forward. I like us as I like the camaraderie that we have. And if any of you guys saw the video that the Nuggets Facebook post, I believe, posted out after the Pelicans game when Gary Harris was a little late coming in from the locker room to go to the game, and they pranked him, and they were all waiting behind the curtain, and he thought he was late, so he ran out for the warm-ups, and they all laughed at him. That's fun to see, even from a team that's in a kind of a pressuring game, and they're still able to have fun, and they really enjoy each other's company. When I was at the game tonight, I guess, against Oklahoma City, before the game, there was a lot of players that were like playing one-on-one during warm-ups and kind of messing around with each other, having fun. And I looked over on the Oklahoma City side, and they're all just kind of shooting. And it was kind of cool to see that our guys seemed like they were having a better time. And I think that's a big step to take as a team. You need to have fun before you can do anything. Because, I mean, they're doing what they love to do, like I said. And that's number one, is you got to play for yourself. You got to play the game that you love.
Well, yeah, and when you look at the two kind of teams, that point's pretty evident. They have somebody like Russell Westbrook, and you saw him when he kind of huddled them all up together where they're just listening to him. Whatever he said that they needed to do is what they were going to do. They have that on-court general who commands that respect and who deserves that respect. Whereas opposed to the Nuggets are a bunch of young guys kind of all coming up together, all trying to figure out this game together. So it's cool to see kind of that difference in the different type of cultures you can have amongst two different groups. And you can't be like, oh, well, that's the reason they lost, is because they weren't focused up. It was a bad fourth quarter. We got tired. We got gassed. And, you know, Russell Westbrook hit a freaking prayer from 5 feet from the three with Jamal Murray on him. So you can't really blame it on that. But I think that is cool to see that, like you said, our cultures are different. And it's cool to see that these guys actually enjoy each other. I hate to use my credit as social media, but even on like Instagram as well, they're always posting stuff about each other too. It's not about their individual performance or games. It's always about their team and how their team helps us elevate to another level. So I do think that is pretty cool.
Yeah. So about these next two games, I hope that we do play our young guys a little bit more, obviously not to lose, but to go out there and play well together and see what our future can look like as a team. We got some good young guys, obviously, and we've only been able to see them together in garbage time, so it'd be cool to kind of see them against some of the better players in the league, even though these next few games there might not be the best basketball, because these games aren't going to mean too much for any of the teams, because Dallas is already out of it, and then I think OKC has already solidified their sixth spot, so, and we're obviously out now, dang, but these next few games aren't going to mean as much as some of the other ones. It's going to be fun to see our young guys going out there and playing extended minutes with each other, seeing how they're going to work as a group, and just get a little glimpse of the future, and hopefully that they play well together and get us a little excitement moving on to next year. I always hate this, the end of the season, because I got used to watching games every week, and I'm just kind of set back, and I just have to look up Nuggets news, and all I see is a couple articles I can read, and it's pretty sad, but I don't know where I was going with that, but I'm excited for these next couple games. I hope that the young guys play well. Hopefully we can have an explosion of some of these guys going off and have a little bit of fun to end the season.
So I think it'd be really cool to see a young squad line up, if you would. Get Moutier at the one, Jamal at the two, Gary at the three, Wancho at the four, and Jokic at the five. I think that'd be pretty neat to see, and actually give it a full go. Like you said, normally we only get to see it in garbage time, so to be able to see it in an actual game where, like you said, it may not have a lot of precedence in the game, but it'll still be cool to see what they can do as a squad. And then, you know, hopefully we throw Malik in there as well and give him some meaningful minutes, because really he deserves it. I think he's going to be a great talent, so I really would like to see them grow a little bit and to really test out what we have. Plus, on top of that, it'll give us a little bit of insight to what we need to build around those pieces for this summer coming up. A lot of all we have to really look forward to, like you said, is a couple articles here and there. Make sure to go check out Dig in Denver. But, you know, and then the summer league as well, and what we're going to be doing with the move in the offseason. So I think it's really important to see what these kids can do in these last couple games. All righty. So now is the very special time in this podcast, and unfortunately, it's going to be one of the last podcasts that we were finally able to get her on, but we're going to be blessed with the presence of Mrs. Mallory Salazar with Dig In Denver. Like I said, she covers the team for us, the special events and the practices. Guys, has gotten us some really good content this season, so we always appreciate her time and the stuff that she does for the site as well. Mallory, how's it going?
I am good, guys. I'm glad to be here. How are you?
We're doing pretty good, it's nice to finally get you on the show. Sorry it's taken so long, for sure. But let's go ahead and let's talk a little bit about some of the Nuggets. And actually, before we do that, why don't you tell the good folks where they can find you out on Twitter and Dig in Denver, all that good stuff.
Oh, I get to give myself a plug. All right.
Plug away.
You can find me on Twitter at Mallory Salazar, MALLORIE Salazar.
Make sure to go give her a follow, ladies and gentlemen. Some of the best stuff on Twitter.
And Instagram.
And Instagram as well.
Yeah.
On anything that is internet. Cool. So, Mallory, we went ahead and talked a little bit about some of the stuff that we had saw in tonight's game. I know you were over there at the game, right?
Yes, I was, unfortunately.
Okay. Yeah, that was rough for sure. So how was the scene there? What did you see? What were some of the good things, some of the bad things? Go ahead and break it down for us.
You know, some of the good things I saw, the Nuggets weren't willing to back down. They were going back and forth, trading buckets through that first half. And then it wasn't until that second half where they kind of exploded, and they had gotten, I believe it was like a 14-point lead, something like that. And then they just allowed Russell Westbrook to take over after he got that 40-second triple-double, which was pretty cool to see in person. But they gave him the control, and they weren't able to execute down the stretch.
Yeah, that's been a storyline this whole season, hasn't it? Late game execution and really just being able to come in the clutch. It's been pretty rough.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's, you know, other than their defensive issues, I think staying consistent, you know, like you said, down the stretch has been probably their second biggest issue of the season. I can think of 11 games that should have been theirs, but because they didn't have that late game execution, they weren't able to to take that W.
11 heartbreaking games. I went on Twitter earlier and said something like, two things that define this season are growth, which we really have grown a little bit, and then heartbreak. God, it's been a long season of heartbreaks.
It has. I think any Nuggets fan would be willing to agree with you. And I think that's what Mile High Basketball is known for, is kind of the heartbreak that they've offered themselves and their fans. But I think that growth, especially in that young core, is going to be vital for next season in helping us. And I think we're going to go beyond the eighth seed next year. But I definitely think this was a good learning experience, especially for our younger guys that haven't had this experience before.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. And Logan and I were kind of just talking about that as well. There's some bad things. Jamal Murray had that foul with Westbrook on the three, sent him to the line. And then, you know, he was right on him as well when Russell hit that that dagger as well. And even though that was bad things, it was good for him to kind of experience those crucial moments playing against high-caliber players, because those are the type of people he's going to have to be guarding in the NBA.
Right. Well, and it's interesting. I actually just saw a stat, I believe it was yesterday, that when tonight's starting five start together, before tonight they were 6-0. They went 6-1 today. So they're a group that works really well together. Obviously, I would like to see the young guys get in there a little bit more and get that playing time. But I think this has been a good start for them.
Yeah, Mallory, I was at the game as well. What did you think about the environment that we were in that night?
It was definitely an interesting atmosphere to be in, because I saw, you know, quite a few Thunder fans, but I think a lot of people were there to witness history happen. I don't know that they were necessarily there as fans of the Nuggets, but I think overall it was weird, because I had never been in anything like it in, you know, the 24 years that I've been alive and been going to games and whatnot.
Like you said, it was very interesting. It was a weird dynamic that was kind of going on there. There was obviously, like you said, those not really Nuggets fans, but more just kind of NBA fans that wanted to see the record being broken. That's understandable, but it was tough to see a crowd that was chanting an MVP for a guy that wasn't on our team. And I'm not used to that as a Nuggets fan, because 2013 and before, we'd make the playoffs 10 years in a row, and we had a very strong, loyal fan base and selling out almost every night, if not every night. And it's a lot different now, and it's tougher to get used to. Hopefully we can get back to that, but hearing those MVP chants hurt me a little bit. It hurt inside, and I hope that next season it's a little bit better. And I was even talking to my friend that went with me to the game, and I think that even at this game that was tough to see, I think there still were a lot more Nuggets fans at this game than there were earlier in the season. I think we have gained a little bit more of a fan base because everyone has seen the potential that we have on this team. Hopefully we can continue that moving forward and hopefully sell out some more crowds, but having a little bit more Nuggets fans in the mix.
Right. Well, and the nice thing about that was, like you said, there were a lot of just general NBA fans wanting to see that record broken, but there were, you know, I don't know if you stayed after the game, but there were quite a few people that stayed after because I think they were, you know, genuinely there to care about our Nuggets team, which was also really nice to see. You know, I don't think we've really regained that popularity that we once had. But I think with Jokic on the team, you know, with that being our rising star and our future franchise player, I definitely think things are going to change.
It was definitely an experience to be watching it from home. So I can only imagine being there, how bad it hurt. My poor daughter, she was watching the whole game with me. When you hit that freaking dagger, I got so upset. She came over and hugged my leg. She's like, "Dad, it's okay. It's okay, Dad." It was one of the cutest things I've seen. But man, it hurt though, dude. It hurt so bad. I had to calm myself down. I'm like, that's right. I can't get too mad. She's watching me.
Yeah. And that's how I was too, you know, sitting there, standing there, and, you know, I had my hands on my head. You know, if you saw what Gary Harris looked like, that's exactly what I was, you know, standing there looking like. And nothing ever makes me cry. And I definitely teared up a little bit, you know.
You shed a tear?
Obviously, out of frustration.
Oh, Mallory, you're crying? Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I'm a very passionate person, Derek.
The passion. It's the passion. Oh, I love it. That's good. So kind of talking about learning experiences in the future and looking at that stuff, what do you kind of see for this Nuggets squad and especially for the person that arguably was the face of the Nuggets for the last, oh, I don't know, 8 years, 9 years, however long he's been here in Gallinari? What do you think is going to be happening with him in the offseason and this whole squad in general?
As for the, you know, the team in itself, they, I believe, are going to continue making strides. I'm not entirely sure what's going to happen, you know, with the draft and offseason and whatnot. But I think ultimately what this team is going to need to find in the offseason is going to have to be a defensive-minded player, or multiple, you know, defensive-minded players that, as you guys have said, episode in and episode out, that has been our biggest struggle. You know, Gary Harris is our best, you know, one-on-one defensive player. We brought Mason Plumlee in because he, you know, is quite a defensive player as well, you know, and he's often substituted in those crucial moments where we do need that strong defense. But I think adding more of that to the mix is ultimately what this team needs in order to really truly go forth and be wonderful in seasons to come.
You say, you know, we need a defensive mind. Is there anybody that comes to mind that you'd like to see on the Nuggets, or the Nuggets make a effort to go get?
I think someone that I've continued to say this season has been Paul Millsap. I believe he has a player option at the end of this season. Do I think he is going to test free agency? I'm not entirely sure, but that's, you know, someone that I've always thought would be nice to have on our team, not only for, you know, the defensive side, but offense as well.
Yeah, we had talked about in our last podcast about potential of maybe like an Andre Roberson. I don't know his availability or his contract, where that stands, but that type of a guy from the small forward position that we'd like to have from the defensive side of the ball. What do you think about that type of guy?
You know, I'll be completely honest with you. I haven't watched Andre Roberson too much. One other person I was actually thinking in terms of small forward, which I know could potentially be unobtainable, would be, you know, Gordon Hayward. He's very versatile. And actually, I was asked to do a roundtable over with the guys from Nuglove. And that's one person that I thought, you know, especially if Gallo does decide to test free agency this offseason, I think Hayward could be a good option. He'd be very expensive. But I think someone like that, something that we would ultimately need.
Yeah, because not only would that help the defense, but that kid has some offense too. So, I mean, that would make us even that much more deadlier. That, man, Gordon Hayward, especially because he's not a cocky type of player, and that kind of meshes with the type of culture that we have going on, the type of players that we have on our team, that would be deadly. I definitely agree with that. I give you kudos to that thought. What do you kind of see with Gallo's this upcoming summer and stuff like that, with specifically Gallinari? What are your feelings there?
Derek, you know me. I am a longtime Danilo Gallinari fan. Have a signed picture that I'm looking at right now in my room that he autographed for me. I have an autographed jersey. I am a big Gallo fan. However, I am not sure if he is going to be staying in Denver. He does have his player option at the end of this season, and most people think that he's going to opt out of his contract with Denver and explore other options. You know, he is no longer that true face of the Nuggets anymore with, you know, Nikola Jokic up and coming. And I think kind of deep down that might be, you know, I think he really enjoyed being the face of this team. But I'm torn between if he's going to stay or leave. You know, he does have that option to go somewhere where he would be making a lot more money. But on the other side of things, he did an interview, I believe it was with Vic Lombardi when they were in New York a couple months ago, that he said that he wanted to stay in Denver and he wanted to end his career here and he wanted to see his jersey hanging in the rafters. That speaks to me because I don't know many people that would want to stay in Denver for their entire career. And you know, the guy has a passion for the city. He loves the city. He loves the fans and he loves, the team. But I think now with Jokic, he is a little more expendable. And you know, they didn't trade him, I think, because they knew that they needed him. I don't know how that would be going forward though. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
If he does test free agency and if we do try to keep him, he will be a pretty expensive asset to keep, and it's going to be tough because we're going to have to pay a lot of these young guys here soon in the coming years, and we're going to need to stay pretty low on the salary cap to be able to afford these guys and not jeopardize our future, because we've already invested so much in some of our veterans. So it's a tough line that the Nuggets are going to have to choose between trying to keep some of the talent that we already have, but also trying to still push forward and kind of grow as a team from our youth and kind of move on to the new generation of the Nuggets.
Let me ask you a question, Mallory, because you made a good point that he's said multiple times. I know, and like you said in that interview with Vic or whoever it had been, but he said it before in other seasons as well that he wants to stay in Denver. Do you think that there's an opportunity that he'll maybe take a little bit of a cut and give us a hometown discount just to stay here and play with this success that we've had so far this season?
You know what? Gosh, I don't remember where it was. He did an interview with someone. I don't remember if it was with the guys over at BSN or where, but I do remember reading that he had done an interview and he said that it wasn't about the money for him. And, you know, I'm not sure how true that holds. You know, I'm not his best friend. I see the guy maybe once a month when I attend practices, say hi here and there. I do not know how true it is that he would be willing to take that cut, but I do vividly remember reading that it wasn't about the money for him. I'll have to find that and send it to you, but you know, I do think he would be willing to if that was the case, because I know that he does love Denver, and he has expressed that, like I said, multiple times.
Yeah, I actually do vaguely remember something like that article coming out as well. So I think it's a possibility. You know, if he really does want to stay here, and they've gone and talked to him asking if he wants to be traded, and he said no, he said it in multiple interviews, I think it's a high possibility for sure. It'd be nice to have him going forward just with that veteran leadership, the hometown hero kind of really passing the torch. Like you said, I know he's liked being the face, but I think he did a good job after Nikola really started to step up, kind of taking a step back and understanding where his place was, that maybe his time was kind of over. And maybe if he can be okay with that, I think he offer a lot of value to our team, just like I said, given that veteranship and being here for so long.
Right. Well, and, you know, the thing is, you know, what is the last 5 out of 6 games or something like that? He has had quality games. 5 of those last 6, he's led the team to, you know, the victory or almost victory that the team has had. You know, so he definitely still shows that value that he has. But I don't know if he's showing that to prove to the team and the fan base that he has that value for Denver, if he's doing that to show others to potentially go somewhere. It's, you know, that fine line that I can't really decide on just yet.
Yeah, the offseason is going to be interesting for sure. There's no doubt about that. You know, it's going to give us a lot to look for, and it's going to make it a tough, long season to go through. I always dislike, I don't know how you guys are about baseball, but I always dislike when the baseball season really starts because I know it's the end of basketball season. It's always bittersweet for me.
No, I agree. Only 6 months to go, right? Until we start all over again. I'll be counting down.
Now's the countdown for sure. All right, Mallory. So you had kind of said just a little bit earlier as well that because you do attend the practices for us, you've gotten some great interviews on this show as well. Who is the nicest Nuggets player out there?
So I have spoken to many of the players on this team, and I have been fortunate enough to have interviews with quite a few of them, or do, you know, that pregame coverage. I would have to honestly say that Mason Plumlee is probably the nicest, and, you know, all of them are nice. I don't say that, like, choosing easily, but Mason was really nice. You know, Wancho was also really nice. You know, I got that one-on-one interview with him. Which was kind of interesting because that's how we kind of started that segment, was with me joking around with that title. But, you know, Mace and Wancha are both, really nice, both really down to earth guys. You know, I think I get along with Mason a little bit better because he went to Duke. I'm a Duke fan. My best friend works at Duke University Hospital. So, you know, we had that in common, but, it's hard to choose just one guy.
I was going
to
tell you, you know why he's the nicest guy, right? Why he's the easiest guy to talk to is because he went to Duke. That's why.
We're biased, though. We're biased, everyone.
Yeah, Logan's a hater. All these guys. I work with a bunch of haters, Duke haters. It's awful. So, yeah, well, that's good to know. It's good to know that that our Duke guys are doing us proud and, you know, being the great citizens of this community. Well, Mallory, anything else you want to say? Anything you want to say to the good people of Nuggets Nation while we got you on here?
All right, Nuggets Nation, I just want you to know you are listening to the best Nuggets pod out there. These two guys do a really good job. Really proud of them. There's more in store for the future, so keep listening. I promise we're not going to let you down. These guys sure haven't let you guys down, and they're not going to. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram and Twitter. I have the best content out there.
All right, Mallory. Well, everybody, make sure to go follow Mallory. She does a ton for the site for us, always putting out great content on there. So, Mallory, we appreciate you being on here, and we'll talk to you real soon. Well, everybody, that was a little bit of Mallory Salazar, one of the great people we have with us over at Dig in Denver. She's the lead editor. Like I said, I can't praise her enough. She does a lot of good stuff for the site as well. So good stuff there, Logue. Well, let's finish up this pod and kind of keep it moving. What do you say? What do you want to talk about here, this last little segment?
Well, I'm sorry, but we had to start this segment a little bit earlier than I would hope to this season. But I want to start talking off season. That hurts me to say. I mean, we still got a couple games. I want us to push forward, play these two games just as hard as we played the other 80 games. But just want to start off with a little bit of the off-season questions and see where we're going to move on from here. So I really think that this core that we have is very strong, and I want to move forward with this young core that we have. And like I was talking with Mallory a little bit earlier, it's going to be tough to be able to pay all these young guys if we have these older guys on the roster. So this is going to be an interesting year. It's going to say a lot about what our strategy is going to be moving forward. If we're going to put more into next season, or if we're going to go a little bit more into the future. And if what I've heard from the Nuggets all season is any indication, I think we're going to be a little bit more towards the future. So we could see some bigger changes this offseason. And I mean, we've been saying that every season for 3 years, that something big's going to change. We're going to make a big move. We showed last offseason that we were willing to make a big move. So maybe this is the time for us, Nuggets Nation. And this is the time that we're going to make that big move, and instead of all these little moves moving forward. So I don't know what we're going to do. Hopefully we can get a nice steal there in the middle of the first round, like we've been so good at these last 3-4 years, getting Gary, Nurk, Jokic, Hernan Gomez, Malik Beasley. We've all got those guys in mid-first round, even second round with Jokic. And we've been doing a very good job drafting, and hopefully we can keep that going moving forward. And like we were kind of talking about earlier with Danilo Gallinari, if he really wants to be here and if he's willing to take a little bit of a pay cut to remain as a Nugget, that maybe raises a couple more questions about Wilson Chandler and his role on the team moving forward, and even Will Barton too. Will Barton's not getting paid too much right now. He's gonna be up for a nice little pay grade, regardless if he wants to stay with us or if he's gonna move to another team. But just, it's gonna be tough trying to decide between those guys, because they really have been key pieces in our organization, and they've been big for us this year and years previous as well. So, what do you think? What do you think is gonna happen this off season? I mean, there's a lot of question marks going into this, but what's kind of your hunch, Derek?
There's just a ton of questions. I almost feel like there's more uncertainty going into this offseason than there was coming into this season. And I don't say that very lightly either, but you have a ton of guys. So let's look at the facts. We're not going to be able to attract anybody from free agency, any big names, without paying a ton of money, right? We're going to overpay for just about anybody if we get anybody that's a somewhat big name. We're gonna have to pay for him, because we didn't make the playoffs this year. We've shown some talent, but you know, Denver is one of those small to mid markets where we're not, you know, Miami or California or New York, you know, one of the big places that is a big spot for these players to want to come to. So money's definitely gonna have to be a motivator. We have, let's say, 4 or 5 guys. Let's name them off. So we got Jokic, Nikola Jokic. We have Jamal Murray. We have Gary Harris, Emmanuel Mudiay, Juancho Hernan Gomez. Juancho! I just had to get that in one more time. Oh, it's gonna pain me not to be able to do that. And then we have Malik Beasley as well. So those are 6 guys right there on the team that's part of this young core that I honestly would like to see all of these guys stay on the team and move forward with. The people that we have in question are going to be Danilo Gallinari, Wilson Chandler, Will Barton, and Kenneth Faried. Those 4 guys are going to be the vets who have really been a big part of our organization for such a long time that all those guys have been in trade rumors before in the previous seasons, in the last, you know, 4 to 5 seasons. Every one of those guys have been on the block at least once. So it's going to be interesting moving forward of what we want to do. I don't know what's going to happen. I want to move forward with the young guys. I wouldn't mind shipping out. And Chandler's honestly one of my favorite players. I know I say that about everybody, but Chandler's one of my favorite players. But if we can get a good return for him and to really fill in the cracks that we need, I would rather keep him. But I would even be okay with parting from any one of those four guys just because and they're such good players that they can fill in teams that really need them. They could take teams to a whole nother level just by adding those guys. None of those four players, five players are like superstars, but adding them to a right team with some really good talent around them could really make a huge difference for that team. Well, guys, I think that's going to wrap it up for this pod. I don't think there's too much more to say. Still a little bit salty from the loss. Definitely a tough one to swallow tonight. Nuggets are proud of you guys. Nuggets Nation, you know, thanks for rocking with us this season so far. And we'll still keep releasing pods and stuff in the offseason. And we'll probably get a couple more shows out as well, you know, the last few games. And we'll definitely have some in the summertime too. But I can't tell you how much we appreciate you guys. Logan, any final finishing thoughts? Anything you want to tell the good people?
The last thing I just want to say is I'm happy for these Nuggets players. I'm happy about the season that we had. One of my goals going into this season, I circled the Oklahoma City game, my last game of the year that I had going to. And what I wanted is for that game to mean something for the Nuggets, and it did. We needed to win this game. Obviously, we didn't, but it meant something at the end of the year, and we haven't had that for a couple years. So I'm excited, obviously, about our future moving forward. So that's basically all I got.
I echo everything that Logan said. I'm really happy that this game did mean something. We were actually in it. We were in it till the end, right? Like, that hasn't happened for a while. That was exciting, like you said. I can't remember being really this excited towards the end of the season for quite a while, and not just completely like, God, this is rough to watch, you know? Players giving up on the coaches giving up on the players. We didn't have that year this year. We've had a lot of growth and building, and that's what it's all about, man. That's what this game is about. That's what life's all about, is growing and getting better, and that's what this team did this year. So really proud of these guys, proud of this organization, proud to be a part of this culture we have going on here in Mile High Basketball. So last time, just want to say, you know, shout out to the fans. You guys are the best, and we'll definitely be seeing you soon. Let's dig in.
Dots get the fly girls and B.I. get the hood rats. I tell them scats, skittles, kabobble. Got hit with a bottle, went to the hospital for talking that mess. I confess it's a shame when you living in a city that's the size of a box and nobody knows your name. Glad I came to my senses. Like quick, got sick to my stomach. Overcome it by thoughts of being up together, right? So when I asked her out, she said I wasn't that tight. I wish I was a little bit taller.